I want your soul.
I've always hated the smell of gun oil. It clings to everything it touches, soaking deep into the fibers of my clothes, the lining of my backpack, the coarse hair on the back of my hands. Yet here I am, kneeling on the cracked linoleum of our mudroom, a Remington 308 laid across my thighs, and the stench of gun oil sharpened my nostrils. The early morning light barely scratches at the edges of the blinds, dim and gray like the belly of a dead fish. My dad, Frank, is in the kitchen, clattering around with the coffee pot and mumbling under his breath. Today we're heading up to the woods of northern Michigan, same as we did every year before Leia, before we lost her. I can't help but feel the old scars throbbing as I load bullets into the magazine. It's been 10 years since that hunting trip, the one that tore my family into before and after. Before, when Leia's laughter was a constant soundtrack to our lives. And after, when every silence was filled with her absence. We were just kids back then. I was 10, Leia was 8. It was supposed to be a typical hunting trip, one of those bonding experiences Dad was always talking about. But things went wrong. We got separated from my dad somehow. One minute we were following him, the next we were lost, the dense woods closing in around us. My dad says that when he found me, I was huddled under a fallen tree, my eyes wide, my body frozen. All I could mutter through my chattering teeth was, "The dog man." It was only later, after the search parties had combed through every thicket and hollow, that they found her. What remained of Leia was barely recognizable, the evidence of a brutal mauling, undeniable. The authorities concluded it was likely a bear attack, but my dad, he never accepted that explanation. He had seen the tracks, too large and too oddly shaped for any bear. As I load another round, the memory flashes, unbidden and unwelcome. Large, hairy, clawed hands reaching out towards us, impossibly big, grotesque in their form. Yet the rest of the creature eludes me, a shadow just beyond the edge of my recall, leaving me with nothing but fragmented terrors and Leia's haunting, echoing screams. My mind blocked out most of it, a self-defense mechanism, I guess. For years after that day, sleep was a battleground. I'd wake up in strange places, the kitchen floor, the backyard, even at the edge of the nearby creek. My therapist said it was my mind's way of trying to resolve the unresolved, to wander back through the woods searching for her. But all I found in those sleepless nights was a deeper sense of loss. It took time, a lot of therapy and patience I didn't know I had. But the sleepwalking did eventually stop. I guess I started to find some semblance of peace. I've mostly moved on with my life. The fragmented memories of that day are still there, lurking in the corners of my mind. But they don't dominate my thoughts like they used to. I just finished my sophomore year at Michigan State, majoring in environmental science. As for my dad, the loss of Leia broke him down. He became a shell of himself. It destroyed his marriage with my mom. And he blamed himself for letting us out of his sight, for not protecting Leia. His life took on a single consuming focus, finding the creature that killed her. He read every book, every article on cryptids and unexplained phenomena. He mapped sightings, connected dots across blurry photos and shaky testimonies of the dog man. But as the 10th anniversary of Leia's death approaches, my dad's obsession has grown more intense. He started staying up late, poring over his maps and notes, muttering to himself about patterns and cycles. He's convinced that the dog man reappears every 10 years, and this is our window of opportunity to finally hunt it down. I'm not nearly as convinced. This whole dog man thing seems like a coping mechanism, away from my dad to channel his guilt and grief into something tangible. Something he can fight against. But I decided to tag along on this trip, partly to keep an eye on him, partly because a small part of me hopes that maybe, just maybe, we'll find some closure out there in the woods. I finished loading the rifle and set it aside, standing up to stretch my legs. I wiped my greasy hands on an old rag, trying to get rid of the smell. The early morning light is starting to seep into the room, casting long shadows across the floor. Dad comes out of the kitchen with two thermoses of coffee in hand. His eyes are bleary and tired. "You ready, Ryan?" he asks, handing me a thermos. His voice rough from too many sleepless nights. "Yeah, I'm ready," I reply. We load our gear into the truck, the weight of our supplies and weapons a physical reminder of the burden we carry. The drive from Lansing across the Lower Peninsula is long and quiet, the silence between us filled with unspoken memories and unresolved grief. The drive north is a blur of highway lines and the dull hum of the engine. I drift off, the landscape outside blending into a haze. In my sleep, fragments of that day would lay a replay, like scattered pieces of a puzzle. I see her smile, the way she tugged at my sleeve, eager to explore. The sunlight filters through the trees in sharp, jagged streaks. Then, the memory shifts, darker, more disjointed. Leia's voice echoes, a playful laugh turning into a scream that pierces the air. The crunch of leaves underfoot as something heavy moves through the underbrush. I see a shadow, large and looming, not quite fitting the shapes of any creature I know. Then something darker creeps into the dream, something I've never allowed myself to remember clearly. Before I can see what it is, I wake up with a start as the truck jerks slightly on a rough patch of road. My dad glances over. "Bad dream?" he asks, and I nod, rubbing the sleep from my eyes, the remnants of the dream clinging to me like the cold. "Yeah, just thinking about Leah," I manage to say. As we drive, Dad attempts to bridge the silence with small talk. He asks about my finals, my plans for the summer. Anything to keep the conversation going. His voice carries a forced cheerfulness, but it's clear his heart isn't into it. I respond when necessary, my answers brief, my gaze fixed on the passing scenery. The landscape changes as we head further north, from flat expanses to rolling hills dotted with dense patches of forest. It's beautiful country, the kind that reminds you how vast and wild Michigan can be. But today it feels oppressive, like it's closing in on us. We finally arrive at the cabin, nestled deep in the woods. Its weathered wood blended seamlessly with the surrounding trees. The place hasn't changed much since the last time I was here, a relic from another time, filled with the echoes of our past. I can still see Leah running around the porch, her laughter ringing out into the forest. My dad parked the truck, and we stepped out into the crisp air. The smell of pine and damp earth filled my nostrils. We start unloading our gear, the tension between us palpable. "Let's get this inside," my dad said, his voice gruff as he hefts a duffel bag onto his shoulder. I nod, grabbing my own bag and following him to the cabin. Inside, it's a mix of old and new, the same rustic furniture, but with new hunting gear and maps strewn across the table. My dad's obsession is evident in every corner of the room, a constant reminder of why we're here. As we unpack, we exchange strained attempts at normalcy. He talks about the latest cryptid sightings he's read about, his eyes lighting up with a fervor that both worries and saddens me. "Did you hear about that sighting up near Alpena?" he asks, laying out his map on the table. "Yeah, you mentioned it," I reply, trying to muster some enthusiasm. "Do you really think there's something to it?" His eyes met mine, and for a moment, I see a flicker of doubt, but it's quickly replaced by grim determination. "I have to believe it, Ryan. It's the only thing that makes sense." We finish unpacking, the silence between us growing heavier with each passing minute. I step outside to clear my head, the cool air a welcome relief. The sun is starting to set, casting long shadows across the clearing. I can't shake the feeling of an ease. You can take the upstairs room, Dad mutters. His voice is strained, trying to sound normal, but it's clear the weight of the past is heavy on him. I nod, hauling my backpack up the creaking stairs to the small bedroom that I used to share with her. The room feels smaller now, or maybe I've just grown too much since those innocent days. I unpack silently, setting my things aside. The bed is stiff and cold under my touch. As I settle in, I can't help but glance at the corner where Leia and I would huddle together, whispering secrets and making plans for adventures. It would never happen. I push the thoughts away, focusing on the practicalities of unpacking. After settling in, I go back downstairs to find my dad loading up a backpack with supplies for our hunt. The intensity in his eyes is palpable, his hands moving with practiced precision. I know this routine. It's one he's perfected well over countless solo trips since that fateful day. "We'll head out early," he says, not looking up from his task. "Gotta make the most of the daylight." I nod, though unease curls in my stomach. I'm not just worried about what we might find or not find out there. I'm worried about him. Every year, the obsession seems to carve him out a bit more, leaving less of the dad I knew. The morning air is sharp with the scent of pine and wet earth as Dad and I head into the deeper parts of the forest. The terrain is rugged, familiar in its untamed beauty, but there's a tension between us that makes the landscape feel alien. Dad moves with a purposeful stride, his eyes scanning the woods around us. Every snap of a twig, every rustle in the underbrush seems to draw his attention. He's on edge, and it puts me on edge too. As we walk, my mind drifts back to that day 10 years ago. I can almost hear Leia's voice echoing through the trees, her high-pitched call as she darted ahead. "Catch me, Ryan." I remember how the sunlight filtered through the leaves, casting dancing shadows on the ground. Those memories are so vivid, so tangible. It feels like I could just turn a corner and see her there, waiting for us. My dad suddenly stopped and kneeled, examining the ground. He points out a set of tracks that are too large for a deer, with an unusual gait pattern. "It's been here, Ryan, I'm telling you. It's close," he whispers, a mixture of excitement and something darker. I nod, though I'm not sure what to believe. Part of me wants to dismiss it as all grief-fueled obsession, but another part? The part that heard Leia scream and saw something monstrous in the woods that day? Isn't so sure. As we continue, his comments become increasingly cryptic. "You know, they say the dog man moves in cycles, drawn to certain places, certain times. Like it's tied to the land itself," he muses, more to himself than me. His fixation on the creature has always been intense, but now it borders on mania. We set up a makeshift blind near a clearing where he insists the creature will pass. Hours drag by with little to see but the occasional bird or distant deer. The sun rises higher in the sky, casting long, slender shadows through the dense canopy. I shift uncomfortably in my spot, the forest floor hard and unyielding beneath me. My eyes dart between the trees, hoping to catch a glimpse of something, anything, to break the monotony. Dad, on the other hand, remains steadfast, his gaze fixed on the tree line as if he can will the dog man into existence by sheer force. A bird chirps nearby, startling me. I sigh and adjust my grip on the rifle, and I glance over at my dad. "Anything?" I ask, more out of boredom than genuine curiosity. "Not yet," he replies, his voice tight. "But it's out there. I know it is." I nod, even though I'm not sure I believe him. The forest seems too quiet, too still. Maybe we're chasing ghosts. As the sun begins its descent, the forest is bathed in a warm golden light. The air cools and a breeze rustles the leaves. I shiver more from anticipation than the cold. The long hours of sitting and waiting are starting to wear on me. "Let's call it a day for now," Dad says finally, his voice heavy with disappointment. "We'll head back to the cabin, get some rest, and try again tomorrow." I stand and stretch, feeling the stiffness in my muscles. We pack up our gear in silence and start the trek back to the cabin. The walk is long and quiet, The only sounds are the crunch of leaves underfoot and the distant calls of birds settling in for the night. Dinner is a quiet affair, both of us lost in our thoughts. I try to make small talk, asking Dad about his plans for tomorrow, but it feels forced. We clean up in silence. After dinner, I retreat to the small bedroom. The fatigue from the day's hike has settled into my bones, but sleep still feels like a distant hope. I lie down, staring at the ceiling, the room cloaked in darkness, save for the sliver of moonlight creeping through the window. Downstairs, I hear the faint sound of Dad moving around, likely unable to sleep himself. I drift into sleep, but it's not restful. My dreams pull me back to that fateful day in the woods. Leia's voice is clear and vibrant, her laughter echoing through the trees. She looks just as she did then, bright-eyed and full of life, her blonde hair catching the sunlight as she runs ahead of me. "Come on, Ryan, you can catch me," she taunts, her voice playful and teasing. I chase after her, but the scene shifts abruptly. The sky darkens, the woods around us growing dense and foreboding. Leia's laughter fades, replaced by a chilling silence. I see her ahead, standing still, her back to me.
"Leia," I call out, my voice trembling. She turns slowly, her eyes wide and filled with fear.
"Ryan, you have to remember," she says, her voice barely a whisper.
"It wasn't what you think. You need to know the truth." Leah's words hang in the air, cryptic and unsettling. Before I can respond, she turns and starts running again, her figure becoming a blur among the trees. Panic rises in my chest as I sprint after her, my feet pounding against the forest floor.
"Leia, wait,"
I shout, desperation lacing my voice. The forest around me seems to close in, the trees towering and twisted, shadows dancing menacingly in the dim light. I push forward, trying to keep her in sight, but she's too fast, slipping away like a wisp of smoke. Suddenly there's a rustle, a flash of movement in the corner of my vision. Leia screams, a sound that pierces through the heavy silence. It happens too quickly. I can't see what it is, only a dark blur that snatches her up. I scream, my voice breaking. I stumble, falling to my knees as the forest spins around me. My heart races and the terror is so real, so visceral, that it pulls me back to that awful day, the one that changed everything. I jolt awake, my breath coming in ragged gasps. I sit up, wiping the cold sweat from my forehead as I try to steady my breathing. The room is still dark. The shadows cast by the moonlight seem to flicker and dance on the walls. My heart is still racing from the nightmare, the echo of Leah's scream lingering in my ears. As I struggle to calm down, the floorboards outside my room creak. The door opens slowly, and I see the silhouette of my dad in the doorway, a Bowie knife in his hand, his posture tense.
"Dad, what the hell are you doing?" I whisper, my voice shaking.
"Shh," he hisses, holding up a hand to silence me. "I heard something, moving around in the cabin. Stay quiet." I swallow hard, my mouth dry. I glance at the clock on the nightstand. It's just past 3 a.m. The cabin is silent, the kind of deep, oppressive silence that makes every small sound seem louder. I can't hear anything out of the ordinary, but his expression is deadly serious. He motions for me to get up, and I do, moving as quietly as I can. My heart is racing, a mix of lingering fear from the dream and the sudden, sharp anxiety of the present moment. My dad leads the way, stepping cautiously out of the bedroom and into the hallway, the knife held ready in front of him. We move through the cabin, checking each room in turn. The living room is empty, the furniture casting long shadows in the dim moonlight. The kitchen is just as we left it, the plates from dinner still drying on the counter. Everything seems normal and untouched. We finish our sweep of the cabin without finding anything amiss. The silence is heavy, punctuated only by our soft footfalls. I can see the tension in his frame,
his grip on the knife unwavering. After checking the last room, we pause in the dimly lit hallway, the air thick with unspoken questions. "There's nothing here," I say, my voice low. "Are you sure you heard something?" He looks at me, his eyes searching for something in my face. "I heard growling, deep and close. It was right outside the window." "Well, maybe it was just an animal outside. A raccoon?" I suggest, although the certainty in his voice makes me doubt my own reassurance. No, it wasn't like that. It was different," he insists. I nod, not wanting to argue, but the seeds of worry are planted deep. The look in his eyes sends a chill down my spine. It's not just fear, it's desperation. The kind of desperation that comes from years of chasing shadows and finding nothing. I can see the toll this hunt has taken on him, the way it's worn him down, turned him into a man I barely recognize. We head back to our rooms. As I lie down, my mind races with thoughts of him. I can't help but wonder if he's losing his mind, if the years of grief and guilt have finally pushed him over the edge. He wasn't always like this. Before her death, he was the kind of father who took us fishing, helped us with homework, and told terrible jokes that made us groan and laugh at the same time. He was solid, dependable, but losing her changed him. The guilt twisted him into someone I barely recognized, someone driven by a need for answers, for closure, closure that may never come. I try to sleep, but my thoughts keep me awake. I can hear him moving around downstairs, probably pacing or double-checking the locks. His paranoia has become a constant presence, and I don't know how to help him. I don't even know if I can help him. The next morning, the sunlight filters weakly through the cabin windows, casting a pale light that does little to lift the heavy mood. I drag myself out of bed, feeling the exhaustion of another restless night. He's already up, hunched over his maps at the kitchen table, his eyes bloodshot from lack of sleep. "Morning," I mumble, rubbing the sleep from my eyes as I pour myself a cup of coffee. "Did you sleep at all?" He shakes his head, not looking up from his notes. "Nah, not much. I couldn't stop thinking about what I heard last night." I sip my coffee, trying to shake off the remnants of my nightmare. "Maybe it was just an animal, Dad. We're deep in the woods, you know." He finally looks up, his eyes intense. "Ryan, I know what I heard. And it wasn't just an animal. It was something else." I sigh. It's too early to argue. "Okay, fine, Dad. What's the plan for today?" "We're going back out. I found some tracks yesterday and I want to follow them. See where they lead." I nod, feeling a mix of apprehension and resignation. I can see how much this means to him, how desperate he is for any kind of lead. "All right, let's get packed and head out." We spend the morning preparing, loading up our gear and double-checking our supplies. He's very meticulous, going over everything with a fine-tooth comb. I try to match his focus, but my mind keeps drifting back to Leia and the dream I had. Her words echoing in my head, cryptic and unsettling. I need to know the truth. We set off into the woods, the air crisp and cool. The forest is alive with the sounds of birds and rustling leaves, but it all feels distant, like background noise to the tension between us. He leads the way, his eyes scanning the ground for any sign of the tracks he found yesterday. As we walk, I can't help but notice how erratically he's acting. He mutters to himself, his eyes darting around as if expecting something to jump out at us. His grip on his rifle is tight. His knuckles were whitened. "Hey, Dad, are you okay?" I ask, trying to keep my voice steady. He glances at me, his expression unreadable. "I'm fine, Ryan." He stops frequently to examine the ground or the bark of trees, pointing out marks and signs that seem meaningless to me. "Look at this," he says, crouching down to examine a broken branch. "You see how it's snapped? That's not a deer or a bear, Ryan. That's something bigger, stronger." I crouch next to him, squinting at the broken branch. To me, it just looks like a regular broken branch, the kind you see all over the place. "I don't know, Dad. It looks just like a branch to me," I say, trying to keep my voice neutral. His eyes flicker with frustration. You're not looking close enough. It's the way it snapped. Too clean, too deliberate. Something did this. I nod, not wanting to argue. Okay, sure. But even if you're right, it could be anything. A storm, a hunter. His expression then hardens. I know what I'm looking for. And this is different, Ryan. I sigh, feeling the weight of the past and the tension between us pressing down on me. Dad, you know, I had a dream last night about Leia. The words hang in the air between us, heavy and fraught with unspoken emotions. His eyes widened, and he straightened up. His entire demeanor shifted. What kind of a dream? What did you see? His voice was urgent, almost desperate. It was strange. We were in the woods, kind of like we are now, but everything felt different. Leia was there, running ahead of me, laughing. Then she stopped and told me I needed to know the truth, and that it wasn't what I thought. He grabbed my shoulders with his grip tight. And what else did she say? Did she tell you anything specific? Anything about the creature? I shook my head, feeling a chill run down my spine. No, that was it. She just said I needed to know the truth, and then she was gone. His grip on my shoulders tightened, and his eyes bore into mine with a mixture of desperation and hope. I need you to remember, Ryan. Think hard. What did it look like? Did you see anything else? I pulled back slightly, uneasy with his intensity. Well, I just told you. I don't remember. It was just a dream, a nightmare, really. My mind's probably just mixing things up. He lets go of me and runs a hand through his hair, looking frustrated and lost. Well, dreams can be very important, though. They can hold memories we've buried deep. Please, try to remember. This could be a sign. I rubbed my temples, feeling the beginnings of a headache. I've tried, all right? I've tried for years to piece together what happened that day, but it's just fragments, like pieces of a puzzle that don't fit. The dream, it felt real, but I don't think it's telling me anything new. His face fell, and he looked older than I've ever seen him. He turned away, staring into the forest as if it all held the answers. As we made our way back to the cabin, the sun began to set, casting long shadows through the trees. The air grew colder, and I shivered, pulling my jacket tighter around me. He was silent, lost in his thoughts, his face drawn and haggard. Back at the cabin, we unloaded our gear once again in silence. He disappeared into his room, muttering something about going over his notes. I decided to explore the cabin, hoping to find something that might help me understand what's going on with him. In the attic, I found a box of old family photos and documents. As I sifted through the contents, I came across a worn journal with his handwriting on the cover. Curiosity got the better of me, and I opened it, flipping through the pages. The journal is filled with notes and sketches detailing his obsession with the Dogman. But there's something else. Entries that talked about Leia, about that day in the woods. His handwriting became more erratic, the words harder to read. One entry stood out to me, dated just a few days after Leia's death. June 15th, 2013. It was supposed to be a normal trip. Keep them close, Frank, I kept telling myself. But I failed. She's gone, and it's my fault. I heard her scream. I saw the shadows. I tried to get to her, but that thing. It was there. It was too fast, too strong. There was blood everywhere. No one will believe me, and I can't even believe myself. I have to protect Ryan now. I have to make this right. What have I done? Before I could read further, the attic door creaked open, and his voice sliced through the stillness. What are you doing up here? His tone is sharp, almost panicked. I turned to see him standing in the doorway, his face pale and his eyes wide, with something between anger and fear. I clutched the journal to my chest, my mind racing. I found this. I was just trying to see what was going on. In an instant, he crosses the room and snatches the journal from my hands. His grip was tight. His knuckles were white. Dad, I just want to know what's going on. I just want to know the truth, I shout, frustration boiling over. His eyes flashed with a mix of rage and anguish, and before I could react, he slapped me right across the face. The force of it knocked me off balance and I stumbled backward, my cheeks stinging. For a moment, there was a silence. We both stood there, breathing hard, the air thick with tension. I'm sorry, Ryan, he said finally. I didn't mean to, I just... And he trailed off, clutching the journal to his chest like a lifeline. I touched my cheek, feeling the heat from the slap, and I took a deep breath, trying to steady myself. Dad, what aren't you telling me? What happened that day? I want you to stay out of it, Ryan. You don't know what you're messing with. His eyes were dark with anger now. He turned and stormed out of the attic. I was left standing there, my cheek throbbing, my mind racing. What the fuck was going on? What really happened to her? And what is he so afraid of? That night, I slept with my rifle within arm's reach, more afraid of my dad than any mystery dog man. The slap still burns on my cheek, and the look in his eyes, rage, fear, something darker, it freaked me out. I lied awake, listening to the creaks and groans of the old cabin, every sound amplified in the stillness. But eventually, exhaustion pulled me under, and I fell into a restless sleep. The dream returned, vivid and unsettling. I was back in the woods, chasing after her. Her laughter echoed through the trees, a haunting reminder of happier times. This time, though, I pushed myself harder, refusing to let her slip away. Her voice called, playful. I'm coming after you, Leah, I shouted, my legs pumping. The forest around us is a twisted, shadowy maze, the trees seeming to close in on us. Leah's figure became clearer, her blonde hair catching the dim light, filtering through the canopy. She stopped suddenly, turning to face me. Her eyes widened with fear. Leah, what is it? I asked. Look behind you, she whispered, her voice barely audible. I turned slowly, dread creeping up my spine. In the shadows I saw a figure, its form indistinct and shifting. It's not quite animal, not quite human. Something in between. The sight of it sent a jolt of terror through me, and I woke up with a start, my breath coming in ragged gasps. I'm not in my bed. The ground beneath me is cold and hard, the smell of damp earth filling my nostrils. Panic rose as I realized I've sleepwalked into the woods. I scrambled to my feet, my eyes adjusting to the dim light. The moon casts a pale glow over the surroundings, revealing what looks like a long, abandoned animal lair. The walls are covered in giant claw marks, deep gouges in the wooden earth. The air is heavy with the scent of decay, and chills run through me. I can't shake the feeling that I'm being watched. Carefully, I start to move, my eyes scanning the ground, desperate for a familiar landmark. That's when I see them, faded scraps of fabric caught on the jagged edges of the underbrush. My steps falter, a sense of dread washing over me as I bend down to examine them. The fabric is torn, weathered by time and the elements, but unmistakably familiar. It's part of Leia's jacket, the bright pink one she wore on the day she disappeared. As I strained to make sense of it all, a rustling sound behind me snapped my focus. My heart leapt into my throat. I spun around, my hand instinctively reaching the rifle I didn't have, because of course, I didn't bring it in my unconscious state. The shadowy figure that emerged from the trees is unsettlingly familiar, mirroring the menacing forms of my nightmares. But as it stepped into the moonlight, I recognized the worn jacket and the wary posture. It was my dad. Ryan, he called out, his voice a mix of relief and stern concern. I've been looking everywhere for you. What are you doing out here? I exhale slowly, the terror ebbing away as reality sets back in. I don't know. I must have sleepwalked. My voice is shaky, my earlier dream still clinging to the edges of my consciousness. He stared at me in disbelief. You haven't sleepwalked since you were a kid, Ryan. This isn't just a coincidence. His eyes darted around, taking in the surroundings, the eerie claw-marked den, the unsettling quiet of the woods. How did you even find this place? I shook my head, struggling to find an answer. I don't know. I just woke up here. The uncertainty in my voice did nothing to ease the tension between us. His eyes locked onto the tattered remains of Leah's jacket in my hands, and something inside him snapped. The color drained from his face as he stumbled a few steps backward. This is where it happened, he murmured, his voice barely a whisper. This is where we found her. I thought you said you didn't remember anything about that night, he said accusingly. Well, what are you talking about? I swear I don't. I don't know anything about this place, I insisted, my own heart pounding now. It was you. You've been hiding this from me? His voice is frantic now. You, last night, the growling in the cabin. It was you. His voice rose. I stepped back, my pulse racing, feeling the chill of the night and the weight of his accusation. Dad, what the fuck are you talking about? No, he interrupts, his voice breaking as he points a trembling finger at me. You knew. You always knew. It was you, Ryan. All these years, the evidence was right there, but I refused to see it. You were the dog man. You killed her. His words hit me like a physical blow, absurd and horrifying in their implications. You're not making any sense. You're talking crazy. I was just a little kid. How could I do something like that? I protested. My voice was shaky. He stepped closer, his presence looming over me, the outline of his figure distorted by the shadows of the trees. Nah, think about it. It all makes sense now. You led us here, to this place. Because you remembered. Because you did it, Ryan. Dad, stop it, I shouted. My heart was pounding in my chest now. You're really starting to scare me. I just woke up. You need help. Professional help. You're not acting like yourself, Dad. But he's beyond reason at this point. His eyes were wild with a haunted grief. I have to end this, he muttered, more to himself than me, his hand tightening around his rifle. His finger hovered dangerously over the trigger of it. My instincts then kicked in, and I knew I had to act fast. I lunged toward him, trying to knock the weapon away, but he was much quicker than I expected. We struggled, our breaths heavy in the cold night air, the sounds of our scuffle the only noise in the otherwise silent woods. His strength surprised me, fueled by his frantic emotions. He shoved me back and I stumbled over a root, my balance lost for a crucial second, and that was all he needed. He raised his rifle, his intentions clear in his wild, pained eyes. I dove to the ground just as the shot rung out, a deafening blast that echoes ominously through the trees. The bullet whizzes past, narrowly missing me, embedding itself in the bark of an old pine. I scrambled to my feet, my heart pounding in my ears, and I started running. The underbrush claws at my clothes and skin, but I pushed through, driven by a primal urge to live. I shouted back at him as I dodged between the trees, to stop. Another shot broke through the silence, closer this time, sending splinters of wood flying from a nearby tree trunk. It was surreal, being hunted down by my own father, a man tormented by grief and lost in his own delusions. I didn't stop to look back. I could hear him crashing through the forest behind me, his heavy breaths and muttered curses carried on the wind. The terrain was rough and I was fueled by adrenaline, but exhaustion was setting in and I needed a plan. Ahead, I see a rocky outcrop and make a split-second decision to head for it. It offers a chance to hide, to catch my breath and maybe reason with him if he catches up. As I reached the rocks, I slipped behind the largest one. My body pressed tight against the cold, damp surface. I hear his footsteps approaching, slow and cautious now. As I pressed against the rock, trying to calm my racing heart, I could hear his footsteps drawing closer, each step crunching ominously on the forest floor. He's methodical, deliberate, like a hunter stalking his prey. Come on out, Ryan. His voice was ragged, filled with a blend of fury and pain. A cold sweat on my back made me shiver against the rough surface of the rock. I knew I couldn't just sit there. It was only a matter of time before he found me. I took a deep breath and peeked around the edge of the rock, trying to gauge his position. I saw him, his rifle raised, and scanning the area slowly. This might be my only chance to end this madness without further violence. I need to disarm him, to talk some sense into him if I can. I decide to move out from behind the rock, quietly, my steps careful to avoid any twigs or leaves that might betray my position. I'm almost upon him when a branch snaps under my foot, a sound so trivial yet so alarmingly loud in the quiet of the night. He swirled around, looking completely unhinged. Ryan, he shouted, his rifle swinging in my direction. Panic overtook me and I lunged forward, my hand reaching for the gun. We struggled, the rifle between us, our breaths heavy and erratic. Dad, please stop, I pleaded, trying to wrestle the gun away. But he was strong, stronger than I expected. Amidst the chaos, the rifle went off. The sound of it was deafening, a sharp echo that seemed to reverberate off every tree around us. Pain exploded in my abdomen, sharp and burning, like nothing I've ever felt before. I staggered back, my hands instinctively going to the wound. The warmth of my own blood coated my fingers, stark and terrifying. He then dropped the rifle, his eyes wide with horror. Oh my God, what have I done? He gasped, rushing to my side as I collapsed onto the forest floor. As the pain seared through me, a strange, overpowering energy surges within. It's wild, primal, unlike anything I've ever experienced. Looking down in horror, my hands were no longer hands, but large, hairy, clawed appendages. The transformation is rapid, consuming. My vision blurs, senses heighten in a raw, guttural growl built in my throat. In that moment, a flood of understanding washed over me, mingling with the horror of realization. These are the hands of the creature from my nightmares. The creature whose face I can never fully recall because, as I now understand, it is me. What happened next feels detached, as if I'm no longer in control of my own actions, watching from a distance as my body moves on its own. I turned towards him, his face a mask of terror. He stumbled back, his eyes wide with the dawning realization of what his son had become. The forest around us seemed to fall silent, holding its breath as the nightmare scene unfolded. I can hear my own growls, guttural and deep, filling the air with a sound that's both foreign and intimately familiar. The pain in my abdomen fueled a dark, violent urge, an urge that's far too strong to resist. With a ferocity that feels both alien and intrinsic, I move towards him. My dad, paralyzed by fear and shock, didn't run. Maybe he can't, or maybe he doesn't want to. The encounter is brutal and swift, a blur of motion and violence. He barely put up a struggle, as though resigned to his fate. Not that there was anything he could do. The creature that I've become is too powerful, too consumed by the wild instinct surging through me. The sound of my dad's screams, of tearing fabric and flesh, is drowned out by the animalistic growls that echo through the night. When it's all over, the red mist that had clouded my vision began to fade, and the fierce, uncontrollable rage that drove my actions subsided. I was left there standing, my breaths heavy and erratic, in the eerie stillness of the forest. The transformation reversed as quickly as it came on, and I found myself back in my human form, my clothes ripped to shreds, hanging off my frame in tattered remnants. At my feet lied what was left to my dad, his body torn and unrecognizable. I glanced down at my abdomen, expecting agony, but instead found my wound miraculously healed. No sign of the gunshot remained, just a faint scar where I expected a bloody mess. Shock then set in, a numbing disbelief mixed with a gut-wrenching realization of what I'd become and what I've done. My hands, now human again, trembled as I looked at them, half expecting to see the claws that had so effortlessly ripped through the flesh and bone of my dad. But there's only blood, my father's blood, against my skin. I stand there for what feels like an eternity, trapped in a nightmare of my own making. Eventually, the shock wears thin and a cold practicality takes hold. I need to leave here. I need to cover my tracks and to disappear. Because who is going to believe this? Who would understand that I didn't choose this and that I'm not a monster by choice? With trembling hands, I do what's necessary. I bury my dad in a shallow grave. The physical act of digging was strangely therapeutic. I covered him with leaves and branches, a pitiful attempt to hide the brutality of his end. I take a moment, whispering apologies into the wind, knowing full well that nothing I can say can change what just happened. I decide to leave the forest behind, my mind a whirl of dark thoughts. As I walked, the first hints of dawn brushed against the horizon, the sky bleeding a soft pink, and I recognize that it's hauntingly beautiful.